going to be in Matthew chapter 8 this afternoon. And we'll be looking, if we have time, at verses 1 through 13. Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the very same hour. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for these wonderful truths concerning Christ and his miraculous ability that he healed these who were tormented either of great disease or of great pain, that he was a man of compassion, able to heal not only the body but the soul. And Father, we're thankful that in the fullness of time Jesus came, born of a virgin, that he came forth, the Son of God, full of grace and truth, and that he was manifest in the world that he might take away the sin of the world. We thank you, Father, for so great love and salvation that is in Christ our Lord, and that we may enjoy of him, not only in fellowship, but in spirit and in truth, all those things that you desire for us in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have two different miracles here, of course, in this chapter, in chapter 8. And Jesus shows his authority, if you will, by doing these miracles. In verses 1 through 4, we have the healing of the leper. And so in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, this account is given of this leprous man who comes to Jesus and how God wonderfully heals him. But there are some other interesting things, of course, about this account when we see Jesus encounter this man and also of how this leper recognizes Jesus. So we want to look at that incident. And then again, we will look at the remainder of our text this afternoon in verse 5 through 13, indicating here the healing of the centurion's servant and how this centurion, a Roman centurion, having great authority himself, recognizes Jesus as a man of great authority, and that he basically asks him to heal his servant, but does not require him to come to his home to heal his servant. And Jesus marvels at the faith of this man, because he had not encountered such faith in Israel. But from this centurion, this man who should not have by any means recognized Jesus as he did, but because God had revealed it to him and not of his own, we recognize that he did acknowledge Jesus as truly the Son of God and had power and authority to heal his servant, even though he might not even have to come to his home to do it. And so Jesus makes great recognition of his faith. First of all, a leper seeks Jesus to be healed. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 8, Jesus came down from the mount where he had been teaching. That's what we see in the first verse. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Of course, he was upon the mount, and he had been teaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And now he comes down, and he is immediately encountered by a man who is an outcast in Israel. As lepers were outcasts, and that they were feared because of the great disease that they bore in their body, yet this leper sought out Jesus. And so either he was somewhat familiar with Jesus and his teaching and his healing, just how he comes to know about Jesus and want to seek him out, we are immediately told. But we find that he draws near and falls down to worship Jesus. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so a couple of things that we see about this leper is that he does recognize Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. He also recognizes that he is a man of great ability and power. That is, he can heal. That he is of God. And just as Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said that no man can do these things but that he is of God, this leper also recognized that Jesus was of God. And he even comes before him and he worships him. And so we have the outcast of society coming to Jesus and worshiping before him. The rulers of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, did not come with the same kind of recognition of who Jesus was, save Nicodemus, who obviously did recognize him as a great man of authority and teaching, and one sent from God. But by and large, the religious rulers of the day did not recognize Jesus. We should beware of those who are greatly religious but do not recognize Jesus. We should take particular recognition of those because they are not of God. And the reason they are not of God is that because they do not know God's Son. And so if one is of great religion, yet they do not recognize Jesus in his power and ability, then they are suspect of not knowing the true God of heaven and earth. But we find that this man, who was, again, an outcast in society, a diseased man, one that everybody else wanted to shun and to stay away from, this man comes to Jesus. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. And so he worships him. He falls down and worships the Lord. The Amplified New Testament says it this way, And behold, a leper came up to him, and prostrating himself, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you are able to cleanse me by curing me. And it says he, in the Amplified, which enlarges upon the text to say that he prostrated himself before Jesus. He fell down before him, which was a true position of worship. And so he came and he fell down before Jesus. and he worshipped Jesus. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We recognize that when a person takes this particular view of Christ, he is in the position of true humility. And the leper draws near, falls down to worship him. He falls down and said, if you will, you can heal me. If you will, you can hear me. Or if you want to, you can heal me. So it is that he had great faith himself, knowing that this disease, which was incurable by any other standard of the day, he felt that Jesus had power over this disease that he possessed. He believed that that Jesus should be worshipped, and so he recognizes him as God, as Son of God. No doubt hearing the words of John the Baptist. No doubt recognizing the testimony of Christ as he taught in the Sermon on the Mount and at other opportunities. And so he comes to him. Isn't it true that it isn't until we recognize Jesus as Son of God that we come to him and ask of him anything? And so it is even today. If there is anybody seeking the Lord, the first thing they must do is recognize Jesus as Son of God. They must see him for who he truly is. Leprosy was a terrible disease of the worst kind. And we know in the Bible that leprosy is even often used as a type of sin because of the terribleness of it and of the plague that it carries and the sentence of death that is upon it. Just as leprosy was consignment unto death, we know that sin is a consignment unto death. The wages of sin is death, the scripture says. There are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Here is the sentence of death upon man. It is a kind of leprosy of the very soul and heart of man. And unless we fall down before the Lord, unless we prostrate ourselves before him and recognize him as Son of God, and having the ability to forgive and to heal our sin, to heal us of this. By his stripes we are healed, Isaiah chapter 53. We find within the atonement every cure that man need to possess comes from the atonement of Christ. Christ can heal if he so desires to. Today miracles can be accomplished through the hand of God. God can heal. Does he do it upon every occasion? No. Did he heal everyone that came to him, that is Jesus, in this day? No, he didn't. Why did he do healings at all? But to show his authority and his sonship, and that he might show the compassion and love of one who came to forgive and to die for the sins of the world. Jesus is such a Savior. And we find that even today, there are many struck with great plagues. Perhaps cancer is one of the worst of them. Sometimes they are healed, sometimes they are not. People resort unto man for the cure of these things. But God is the one who can alone heal the sentence of death which is upon the soul of man. And so it is that Jesus puts forth his hand and touches him. This was forbidden. No one was to touch a leper. A leper was the outcast of society. If you touched the leper, then you would get leprosy yourself. It was very contagious. And so it is. Jesus touched this man. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus touched this man. And when we come to this disease called sin, Jesus must touch man. In fact, we have several songs that reflect that. No, he touched me and made me whole. Realizing that Jesus alone is the one who has the ability to cure such plague of the soul as sin. It is a terrible disease that man is struck with, just as leprosy was a terrible disease. So Jesus puts forth his hand and touches him. And although leprosy meant death to one who would come in contact with another, yet Jesus has power over the plague of leprosy. Jesus has power over the plague and disease of sin. All our soul's diseases are in the hand of Jesus. Psalm 103, and we ought to bless the Lord, realizing that he is the one who can cure all our soul's diseases. And Jesus touches this man and he cures him of his leprosy. He heals him of his leprosy. But to do so was to change this man forever, was to change him. The same as it is when Jesus touches the heart that is full of sin and that recognizes him as the Son of God, and that comes and falls down before the Lord Jesus and prostrates himself before Jesus. This is the posture of humility. This is the posture of repentance. This is the posture of acknowledging one's sin. This is the posture where one is at the total and complete reliance upon God. And that is what God requires. He does not require reciting a little prayer that someone may give you to say, which may be all well and good in itself, but it may not reflect the true heart of worship or of humility or of reliance upon God, save that the person has a heart for it. Now, if the person has a true heart for that prayer, then it may very well be that God will touch that person and redeem them from their sin. But if they have not a heart for that prayer, it will mean nothing. This leper came to Jesus because he had a heart to know God and to know the forgiveness and the cleansing that is alone in the power of God. And that is, of course, what Jesus says. And immediately, his leprosy was clean, cleansed. I will, be thou clean. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. He was instructed next by Jesus to go and to do according to the law of Moses, which was to offer a certain sacrifice unto the priest, and to tell the priest what had happened. Why? That the priest might examine him and pronounce him clean. God had pronounced him clean, but for the sake of the law, which was very much still in effect as far as the Jew was concerned, as Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom is at hand, yet it was required that Jesus fulfill all righteousness, and so he would tell him to go to the priest and show himself to the priest, and the priest would pronounce him clean. Why? That the glory might be given to God, and that he may be reunited with his own family once again. And so God required him to do this. That is, Jesus required him to do this. So in verse 4, and Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. So the first thing, the first order of business, don't tell anybody, just go to the priest, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And so it is that he was to do this. Isn't it true that the first order of business when we come to God is that God might deal with us after the word and justice and righteousness of God? Our righteousness is in Christ. There is no righteousness of our own. And so when a person first comes to Christ, what are they to do? Well, They are to find a church, find a Bible-believing church, go and begin to join yourself with other believers of like faith. And we will find that not only the Lord will acknowledge that in the person's life, but the people who witness it will give testimony to the glory of God in that very thing, that a soul has come to Christ. We do not hide our light under the bushel. We expose it. And in like kind, as believers, if someone comes to faith in Christ, they are to make their testimony known. We should encourage that of those who come to faith in Christ. So Leviticus 14:1-15, the priest was to pronounce him clean, that he give the glory to God and be restored to his community. The next miracle that we see here is this incident concerning the Roman soldier who shows exceeding faith in verses 5 through 13. This is a centurion. He is called a centurion. And as the first verse indicates here, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. The centurion was, as I said, a Roman soldier, and he is a captain over 100 men. The centurion had charge of 100 men. And so he is a man of great authority. His group of people that he commands know his authority, and he has great authority as a captain within the Roman soldiery. And we find that this centurion comes to Jesus. And as he comes to Jesus and he encounters Christ, we find that he comes beseeching him. And in this beseeching, there is a sense of pleading with Jesus. That is, he comes with a particular matter to bring to Jesus' attention. And he pleads with Jesus in this. He beseeches him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So he is somewhat paralytic. He is in pain. I'm not sure just what we would call palsy today, but it is a debilitating disease, of course, which causes the body to be in great pain as well as unable to serve in the sense that one would get up and do the work that they normally would do. They are somewhat paralytic. And he is in this condition. And the centurion, we must, I think, should recognize that this centurion does not act out of selfishness. Certainly as a centurion, he would be wealthy enough to go out and buy himself another servant. And so we must not think that this centurion is acting merely out of selfish greed, that he might have his servant healed for his own benefit. What should he care for this servant except that he is under his employ, under his charge? And so it seems that he has a greater attachment to this servant. In other words, this centurion is a man of compassion. He's a man of compassion, which may indicate to us that we always ought to be people of compassion, no matter how much authority we have. He has authority over 100 men. Why should he care about a lonely servant? Except he is a man of compassion. And so here is a man of compassion who comes to Christ, and ultimately we find that Christ answers his call to prayer, his call for need to be answered. He supplies the very want of his heart for his servant. We always ought to be compassionate. And we should not be lifted up with self-importance. This man certainly could be if he wanted to be. He had 100 men under his charge. He was a centurion in the Roman soldiery. And so it is that that he comes. And this reveals something about this individual too, you see. It reveals that he is a unique man. Jesus said, I will come and restore him. I will come and restore him. Verse 7, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Very quick response. Jesus immediately says, I will come and heal him. I mean, this sounds great. I mean, you would think right there it would stop and the centurion would say, great, I'll go right now with you and to show you my servant that he might be healed. But instead, this servant reveals more about himself. And the more is that the centurion says, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. He's not only a man of great compassion, he's a man of great humility. He's a man who recognizes that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Just as the leper recognized that Jesus was the Son of God and prostrated himself before him and worshiped him. And Jesus cleansed him, for he was a man of true humility and in great need. And Jesus healed him, cleansed him of that terrible disease. And now this centurion reveals a side of himself that astonishes the Lord Jesus. The centurion answered in verse 8 and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. But speak the word only. But speak the word only. He's not only a man of great humility, he's a man of great wisdom. He knows that Jesus, as the Son of God, doesn't need to traverse to his home. All he needs to do is speak the word. He's not only a man of compassion, a man of great humility, he's a man of great wisdom. He possesses the qualities of one who has great faith. Would to God that we had such great faith to recognize Jesus not only as Son of God, but to be humbled before him in such regard that all we need to do is request of him and we know that it should be accomplished. And so this centurion is unique and stands out among men in his time. And so Jesus marveled, the scripture says. Jesus marveled. In verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled. It was just amazing to him. In his own human understanding of men that he encountered in Judea and in that region, this was marvelous to him. It wasn't that God was somehow surprised and that he did not know the hearts of men, but perhaps because he did know the hearts of men, and that he had not encountered such a one as this, who showed such assurance of faith, that he marveled. And so it is good for us. It is good for us to have a trust in Jesus, a complete trust in Jesus and in his word, to know that he would accomplish the things that he says that he will do. And he says, I have not found so much faith as this, no, not in Israel. And this is a centurion. This is a Roman soldier that he speaks of. And so when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily, truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So those who were about him, those who were following him, and one can imagine that there was a large multitude of people that followed after Jesus. Not only that this leper recognized Jesus for who he was, but this centurion who comes to him recognizes Jesus. He is the man to meet. He is the one to meet. And all who would recognize him as the Son of God wanted to meet him. And we find that the centurion is greatly moved with compassion at Jesus for his own servant, and in great humility and in great recognition for who Jesus is. He just asks him to speak the word, and he knows that God will accomplish the healing in his servant. And Jesus complies. Jesus complies. So when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Verse 11, "And I say unto you, many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." I guess this verse here, in verse 11, reveals much to us about the expectations of Jesus and the extent of the gospel, and how truly the gospel should spread far and wide and should be a great message of redemption unto the world. He says that many shall come from the east and from the west. Not just the centurion, but many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall find great faith. They should exhibit great faith. And he says, they shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. No doubt of a future prophetic position of entering into that kingdom of heaven that God should bless people in who come to him in such a way as this Roman centurion. This Roman centurion, by the way, already seems to have great faith. We don't find Jesus saying to him make any particular pronouncement about him particularly, only about his servant, because he is a man of great faith, showing that God raises up a testimony for him often among those that we think not. And so Jesus makes this statement that many should come from the east and from the west, and they too will be sitting down in the kingdom of heaven at the very same table, as it were, as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of those who are the patriarchs of faith. And then verse 12, "But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Just as in the one case, there are those who show great faith, and those who should come from the Gentile nations and receive great blessing in the kingdom of heaven, there are those who call themselves sons of the kingdom, that is, of the kingdom, that is, speaking of Israel and of that nation that should recognize, yet they do not recognize the Messiah. And it says that they shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed the very same hour." And now Jesus gives the request in full unto the centurion. For he was a man of great compassion, of great humility, of great wisdom in coming to Christ. And his faith was exceedingly great faith. And so that his servant was healed that very same hour that he spoke unto Jesus. Well, which is greater, to heal or to forgive sins? Well, we know that they are both a work of God. They are both a work of God. God alone is the author of miracles of all kind. And in these two particular cases, there is much for us to consider. The proper position and station of one when you come to Christ is not to be upright, but to be down upon one's face. The proper heart for one when he comes to Christ, not in pride, but in humility. The proper faith of one, when one comes to Christ, is to not question or doubt in any way the ability or power of God to accomplish his purpose, but to know that he can do it, do all things, and to submit to the very will of God. If Jesus had said, I will come anyway to your house, I'm sure the centurion wouldn't have argued with him. But out of deference to Jesus and to his great authority, he says, you don't need to. Just speak the word. And so we find that these two miracles mark a very special authority in the Lord Jesus. His ability to draw people unto him who were of quite different backgrounds. The leper, who was an outcast in society and given to great reproaches, and Jesus stoops to touch him and to heal him upon the basis of his worship of him, and of another man who was of great authority even as himself, but was not so much of great authority that he was not a compassionate, humble, and wise man who had great faith and so believed greatly. From the lowest to the highest, it takes humility and faith to come to our Savior. Let us bow together. Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us and pray we should have such humility and such faith that we would bring ourselves lowly unto the Savior, and that we would use great beseeching as we come. For even this centurion of great authority came beseeching Jesus. Let us also, Lord, come to you with the faith of those who would plead before our blessed Lord and know that he desires of us the humility of heart, seek those things that should be according to his will, to do the very will and work of God in our lives. Whether to forgive or to heal, he is able to do those things. All we must do is lay ourselves open before him. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercies. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.